stuff that I want to share with you, so just stop running.
Awesome. Lord, we're grateful to have so many ways to bring worship to you. We worship with your word. We worship through prayer. We worship with song. And now we get to worship by giving back to you what you've so richly given to us. Father, anoint this time of worship, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning to everyone here. We want to welcome you to LifeSpring. Do you want to drink? My name is Fernando, if you don't know that already. It's my wife, Judy. And we're here to pastor the flock. Judy's going to bring the word today, so I'm just going to pray for her. And that the Lord would just do a deep work in us. So, Father, I thank you for Judy. I thank you for how she has spent time before you, that she longs to hear you. She longs to awake, be awakened by your heart and by your word. I thank you that you are doing a deep work in her, and that you are conveying that deep work through the words that are going to be spoken today. That the word of God would come forth and complete its purpose, that it will go down deep into fertile soil, and that it would increase 30, 60, and 100 fold into our hearts and into our minds and into our lives. So we declare that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, church. How are you doing? So, the Lord has a good sense of humor, don't you think? When I was starting to get ready for today, and I know way ahead of time when I am going to be sharing, but for the longest time I didn't have a really specific word, and Fernando had talked about being a disciple. What does it mean to be a disciple? And that's what we've been talking and referring to the month of January, and today's the last day of the last Sunday of January. But as I say, the Lord has a good sense of humor. So does my husband. I was writing my notes, and I wrote in font 18, and he said, "Well, you can put it over there and really read it from it," but really not. I'm just like, he thinks it's funny most of the time. As I was getting ready, I heard the Lord say, "Are you marked for me? Are you marked for Jesus?" Have you ever heard that? Are you marked for Jesus? And I felt the Lord, as I prepared, ask me. You know, I was telling Fernando, I said, this is one of the first times that I felt how difficult it was to get ready for this. The Lord is challenging me in these things that he's saying to me. And so when I come to you, I'm processing what the Lord is saying and the challenges that he's giving me. So I heard him say, "Are you really marked for me, Judy?" And I said, "Oh, ouch, Lord, am I really marked for you?" And the reason I say that is because I felt like he was saying, ask the church, ask the people who are here this morning. So, are you marked for Jesus? Has the Lord marked you for him? And when I talk about that, I want to give you a little bit snippet of, I grew up in Puerto Rico, and some of you know that, some of you don't know that. But when you leave Puerto Rico, they said you can take the Puerto Rico out of the girl, but not the banana stain out of the girl. And so when you cooked with plantains, they're green bananas, but they're bigger. They're not really bananas, but you have you had fried bananas before? Tostones. when you work with the banana peel, it stains your hands, it stains your fingers. So the statement is, you can leave the island, but you still have that stain because you are Puerto Rican. And just quickly, I came here when I was 15. I didn't speak English. And I lived with my brothers-in-laws, my sister-in-law, Sierra. Welcome, Christine. It's good to have you. And I lived with her parents, and I went to high school. And when I left Puerto Rico, I came to the States. I'm an American by being Puerto Rican, but I was not an American. Does that make sense? I was Puerto Rican. I am Puerto Rican. And then when I went back to Puerto Rico to visit my parents, I'm not Puerto Rican enough because I've taken some of the culture of the American people. Does that make sense? And so when I talk about am I branded, I should be branded by Jesus, don't you think? We need to be identified as disciples of Jesus. So my question to you this morning is, are you marked? Are you marked? And as I was writing this, I thought about the slaves when they were branded. When they were, you can talk about cattle, when they're branded and they are sealed for that company or for that owner. So do you belong? Have you been branded? Has your heart been branded for Jesus? And so as you talk about that, you know, there are young people who want to work Nike shoes or Coach purses or just brands of stuff, right? So we carry that, and it, to some of us, it makes us feel good. Like if you have a pair of Nike shoes or what is the other brand? Balance or Adidas or whatever, right? It makes us feel like we belong, or it makes us feel like, I don't know, some people like, I have enough money to buy these purses or these shoes or whatever. And so we represent that which we wear. So I feel like the Lord was saying to me, there are seven marks of a disciple. And there might be more than seven marks, but what the Lord was speaking to me and challenging me with are seven that I felt were important. I'll read them to you real quick, and then I'm going to go over them. As we talk about a disciple, you need to know and understand that a disciple is a learner. We don't stop learning. We don't stop seeking. We don't stop reading the word and understanding what God wants for us. And so the number one thing that he told me was a disciple takes up his cross daily. That's a brand. Number two, a disciple prays and fasts. Number three, a disciple is full of joy and full of the Holy Spirit. Number four, a disciple abides in and obeys the word of God. Abides in and obeys the word of God. A disciple bears fruit. Number six, a disciple loves others. And number seven, a disciple puts Christ first in his life. And as he told me those seven things, and as I've been working on this teaching, on this sermon, the Lord has been challenging me. So I pray today you are challenged with me. So the first one is, a disciple takes up his cross daily. And you say, what does that mean? Anyone? What does that mean? To you, when I say a disciple takes up his cross daily. Anyone? Yeah. What else? God's desires first. So the first thing that I thought was dying to self daily. It's dying to what I want and allowing God's wants in my life. It does, my heart cry, is it my will be done or God's will be done? What are you asking the Lord? If you're taking your cross daily, is, Lord, your will be done over my life, not my will be done. So again, it's taking that self-talk and that selfishness. We all have that self-will in us. So at times I find myself thinking, being a Christian is not what I signed up for. Does anyone say that? Think that? You know, I thought, no. I thought I was getting the nice green pastures of Psalms 23 or the good news of the New Testament. Do any of you ever think, was this really what I signed up for? Ever? Or is it just me? So Luke 9:23, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn there, I'm going to read it. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. And how do we do that? Any ideas? How do we take up our cross daily? Loud. You make that decision every day. It's the decision every day. So I feel like the Lord was saying the cross of Christ was costly to him, right? He died on the cross for you and for me. And it is so important for us to look at the cross because that's what gives us the power to change. The cost of the cross, it was costly to him. And many of us want it our way. And so what I believe the Lord was telling me was, you don't think that the cost of the cross was enough for you, so you want it your way. Does that make sense? I don't think that the cross was enough, or he didn't pay enough. He didn't exchange my sin for his blood, that wasn't enough. Because we can try it on our own, right? Who's tried it on their own? Try it on our own, the song. We want it our own way. And seriously, self-will doesn't work, right? Self-will, we can try it. We can try it and we can try it. But in the end, it doesn't work. We go back to the things that are not of the Lord if we don't rely on the cross. So if my job is to take my cross daily, what Beth said, I have to make a choice daily to take up my cross. So my job is to take up my cross. And the job of the Lord is to bring resurrection. So if when we accept Christ, we die to our old self, he resurrects a new me. And so that's his job. So dying to myself daily and picking up my cross is really allowing the Lord to resurrect what he wants in my life. Number two, a disciple prays and fasts. On a number of occasions in the Bible, we're told in the scripture that Jesus just got away, right? He went and got away. And why do you think he got away? Right? So in one of those times, the disciples followed him and they asked him, Jesus, how should we pray? And he tells them, right? He says, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us and lead us not into temptation. So praying should be as important as taking a deep breath. Because he says the believer prays and fasts. And Matthew 6, 5 to 6 says, and when you pray, Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done is in secret will reward you. And my question from the Lord was, do I see you in secret? Are you coming to the secret place? Are you spending time in the secret place with me? When Jesus was going away by himself, he was praying to the Father. You know, he pulled himself away. And one of the things that the Lord was telling me was, I modeled dependence upon the Father by getting away. I'm an introvert, so getting away, it's not a problem. Not at all. I like to be by myself. And Fernando knows that, right? I like to be by myself. But for some of us who are more extroverted and people who want to be with people, it's a little bit harder to say no. Right? To say no to, I felt like the Lord was saying we have to say no at times to people, to events, to media, to social gatherings, because he's asking us to get alone with him. Are you getting alone with him to pray? I want to share with you, as I'm speaking, the Lord is reminding me of a dream that I had. And I told Fernando, we were in this room, and this place was packed with people. And I know there was a day that Jim talked about, I've seen this place just filled with people. And to tell you the truth, I was like, he showed you, but he didn't show me. So I never seen it, didn't understand it. And I saw in the dream, I felt like it was more a vision of people here. And so I felt like I'm telling the church, and I'm telling you, get ready. This place is going to be packed with people who need people who are ready to receive them, who are ready to love them, who have prayed for them to come. There are people in need in Goshen. There are people in need in Elkhart County. There are people in need in Indiana. And they need a Savior, and they need people to love them. And that was a challenge to me, because I'm an introvert. And so the more people there are, the more drained I get. But I'm being obedient by being up here and telling you, get ready. The harvest is ripe. And there are people who need to hear the good news that we have in our hearts and that the Lord has given us. That's why I'm saying, have the markings of Jesus. Have the markings of a disciple. Because we need to be ready when the time comes. The next thing in that one was the disciple prays, but also fast. And in the word, in Matthew 6:17, it doesn't say if you fast, but it says what? When you fast, right? When you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so others don't need to see or understand that you're fasting. So it's between you and God. And I'm not saying that you have to fast every day. I'm not saying this to be legalistic. It's between you and God. When you fast, when he requires you to fast. If we ever do like a congregational fast or a small group fast, you do it together and you come in agreement. But a fast is between you and God when he asks you to do it. But the Lord is saying when you fast. So part of fasting is honoring God, and so that we can hear him better and we can get wisdom from the Lord. Acts 13:2-3 says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. So again, they were worshiping and fasting, and the Holy Spirit spoke. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So the fasting and the prayer gave them the wisdom to understand who was being called, right? Who was to be in leadership. And so we fast with a purpose. We fast towards the Lord, not from something. And I felt like the Lord was saying, Judy, when I ask you to fast, it's not always about food. It's always, for me, it's about attitude or a commitment towards something. We can get distracted so easily. And what I mentioned before with media, we can be distracted with events. We can be distracted with sex and drugs and alcohol. All kinds of things can distract us. And the Lord is saying, would you come back? Will you come back? Will you refocus on me? Number three, a disciple is full of joy and of the Holy Spirit. Acts 13:52 says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. The Lord is challenging me to be joyful. There are times that I can be really intense and I focus and I just want to do, I'm very task-oriented. And so the Lord is asking me, come back to that joy that I've already given you. So the joy of the Lord is our strength. But one of the marks of the Lord is joy, full of joy. Not just a little bit, but full of joy and of the Holy Spirit. You know that scripture that I just read, Paul and Barnabas enjoy a fruitful time of ministry. They were filled with the joy and the Holy Spirit. But soon after, they were suffering. Soon after, they were going through trials. And yet in the middle of all of it, they were joyful. So again, it's not a fake laughter. It's not a fake, I am rejoicing. It's filled with the Holy Spirit and the joy of the Lord. So what does joy look to you? What does joy look like to you? Anyone? What? Your children. That causes you joy. Anyone else? What does joy look to you? Bubbles? No worries? Okay. So I had a friend in Virginia Beach that every time I saw her at church or any event, she was Debbie Downer. Everything was bad. Everything was woe is me. Everything was woe is me. And as I was reading this and just asking the Lord, how do I receive the joy of the Lord? And one of the things Fernando and I started doing, November, December, you got me those little booklets on thankfulness. Having the joy of the Lord is being grateful. The joy of the Lord is being grateful. So I started thanking the Lord for our house. I started thanking the Lord for our car. Started thanking the Lord that I had a job and that I thanked the Lord when I was warm or had boots or whatever the reason. So many things we take for granted. My back was hurting in November and December and it just started getting better. So once it started getting better, I thanked the Lord. My back feels better. I'm not in pain. Right? I mean, it is. So things that we take for granted, our health, our emotions, our finances, thanking the Lord every day causes us to have a joyful heart. What are you thankful for? Can you just say, what are you thankful for? Your husband? Her? Anyone? What are you thankful for? Bonnie? Your friends? What are you thankful for? Your church? Anyone? People who challenge you? Yes. So there is beauty and power in the Holy Spirit. Can you see that? There's beauty and power in the Holy Spirit. He lives in us and enables us to be different from the world. Not that we're perfect, but we're different. Shouldn't you be different? We should be different. We should carry the joy of the Lord in us, and we should act different. We shouldn't be looking exactly like people in the world, right? When someone is filled with the Holy Spirit, or filled with joy, you're attracted to them, aren't you? You want to spend time with them. You want to connect with them. You want to be near them. And it's not that you're just worshiping them. You just enjoy their company. And that's how the Lord is saying, Judy, do you enjoy my company? Do you want to spend time with me? When Jesus was about to return to the Father, he told his disciples that he wasn't going to leave them. He was going to send them another comforter. Who is the comforter? The Holy Spirit, right? And so it is important to understand in today, in this day and age, the job and the role of the Holy Spirit in us. And two scriptures came to mind. Ephesians 5, 18 to 20, which it says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. These two scriptures that I'm going to read, this one was Ephesians and the next one is Romans, gives you a little bit of what is the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives in this day and age. We carry him inside of us and we have the power. The next one is Romans 8, 14 to 15. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. So you don't no longer feel like a slave. You know you're a son and a daughter of a king. I am a daughter of a king. So when I get up in the morning, I say to myself, I have an inheritance. I'm an heir to the king, and I can function filled with the Holy Spirit. Not that I've arrived, not that I am perfect, but I know that God loves me and that I am branded to be a disciple of his. Number four, a disciple abides in and obeys the word of God. Jesus said that those who hold to and abide in his teaching will know the truth, and that the truth will set them free. And God's word is truth. Jesus invites us to meditate on his word. His word is key. That's our communication. That's our bread. That's our manna. So his word is key. So we abide in and we obey his word. You know, the enemy will do everything to distract you from reading the word. Who struggles at times with, I don't have enough time. There was a period of time in my life that I would go in the closet and I open my Bible and I start remembering, the groceries that I need to buy or the errands that I need to do. And the Lord said, Judy, just bring a little notepad and write those things and then go right back to it. Because I would get distracted. Just to tell the truth, I'm really ADHD and everything distracts me. Everything and anything. So when I want to spend time with the Lord, I need to be really focused. And there are times that I can start and then this happens. And then I can start and then this happens. And the Lord said, Judy, it's not how much time, it's the quality of the time that you spent with me that I can pour into you and speak into your life. So don't be so legalistic that it needs to be an hour or 2 hours. It can be that long. But when you start, you can start small. And as you start, it grows. And so these things are, the Lord wants us to abide in his word. Number five, a disciple bears fruit. And when you think about fruit, there are times that I always thought fruit is, I do good deeds. I'm successful. I know how to do things. A disciple bears fruit. For me, the Lord is saying, the kind of fruit Jesus is speaking is people. People. fruit bearing with people. It says bearing fruit is another mark of being a disciple of Jesus. Fruit not only proves that we are his disciples, but it also glorifies the Father in heaven. In Matthew 4:9, he says, when Jesus first called his disciples to himself, he said that they would become what? Fishers of men. Fishers of men. But by this my Father's glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. That's in John 15:8. You know what? This weekend, getting ready for this, the Lord said, God doesn't need us. But he, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, graciously invites us to join him. Graciously invites us. He doesn't need you and I, but he invites us. So we've received an invitation to bring the gospel to those who haven't heard it. To be love, to be kindness, to be what they need when they're hurting. In Matthew 4:19, it says, come follow me. Jesus said, I will send you out to fish for people. Have you been fishing much? For me, I don't like to fish. So this picture doesn't help me. But I know what the Lord means. We are to be out there with the bread of life, bringing people in to the kingdom. John 15:16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. John 15:16. You know, we use that last portion of that verse sometimes selfishly, don't we? And so that whatever you ask in my name, so we ask in his name a lot of the times very selfishly, don't we? I want this, I want that. Will you do? Will you please? And all he's saying in there, so that you will bear fruit. It's about him. So if we're praying his will for his kingdom, he will see us through. He will bring it to pass. So how are we praying? Are we bearing fruit? So the question is, are you bearing fruit that is eternal? Because we can bear fruit. We can be fruitful. We can be, have a great job, have money, have a great house. But are you being fruitful for the kingdom of God? Are you being fruitful and multiplying the kingdom of God? Number 6, a disciple loves others. John 13:35 says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Love is not just the icing on the cake, is it? It's not an optional add-on. It's not like an air freshener that you spray around to make the room smell better, is it? Right? As disciples, it's not enough to just have a devotional, memorize a few Bible verses, attend a Bible study, and show brotherly love or affection to others. The kind of love that I felt the Lord was talking about was unconditional and selfless love. Unconditional love. Loving someone even if they don't reciprocate that love. Loving someone, you know, it's giving. He gave us his life for each one of us. It's not just taking. You know, have you had friendships or have you had with someone they just take? And you give, and don't receive. But the Lord gave it all for you and for me. So it's that unconditional love. It's that, you know, I was talking to Fernando about this yesterday, and he goes, Judy, is receiving and giving. It's not a transactional action, but it's a relational. It's out of relationship. And this is interesting. The Lord was showing me. When we lived in Virginia, I felt like we could speak to anyone and they would hear me out. or I could speak to someone and they, yeah, that makes sense. And we moved here and I felt like we were being taught that it's not out of you speak to someone if there's no relationship. There has to be community. There has to be relationship. There has to be trust that is built. And so as a disciple who loves others, you must love others before they love you. You must love others before there's any response. And then you can speak into their lives. Does that make sense? It was the realization that the Lord was giving me. A disciple puts Christ first. Life is full of things that compete for our loyalty. When you hear the word loyalty, what do you hear? Anyone? Dedication? So I always go to the dictionary. Loyalty is devotion, commitment, dedication. Who are you loyal to? There are many things that promise to give us what we desire, but they don't. Self, media, money, social status, drugs, sex, alcohol, jobs, and many more. So if Christ is not first in you, you might want to ask, are you truly a disciple? Is God number one? Is God taking your loyalty? Are you loyal to him or to other things? Jesus is the only one worth our allegiance. And when you hear the word allegiance, what do you think? Allegiance means loyalty, commitment, devotion, attachment, faith, fidelity. Allegiance false determines who is first in your life. Who are you committed to? Where's your loyalty to? Who is your loyalty guided towards? And again, going back to wearing designer clothes or Nike, are you loyal to Nike? Are you loyal to basics? Shoes, Adidas, whatever it is. Where is your loyalty? And the Lord uses these kind of pictures to me, you know. Who, Judy, is your priority? Who are you loyal? You know, when you talk about loyalty, you talk about the Pledge of Allegiance. And when we say the Pledge of Allegiance, what do we say? We pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States. And why do we do that together? I feel like the Lord this morning said, Judy, that it causes unity. The United States has this Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. So it causes people to draw together. So the Lord is saying to you, where is your allegiance? Is it the church? Is it the body of Christ? Is it the Lord? Or is your allegiance somewhere else? Where's your focus? Who is your Lord? Who is your Lord? Lord means one having power and authority over you. Head of the household, high position, a ruler by hereditary right to whom service and obedience is due. Who is your Lord? Who do you allow to speak into your life? Is it the Word of God? Is it Holy Spirit? Is it your friends? Is it your husband? Or is it the Lord? And there is balance to all of that. It's not just one. If He is our Lord, He invites us to acknowledge Him in all that we do, in everyday life. If He is my Lord, this morning I got up and I said, Lord, what do you have planned for today? What's in your heart? Do you ask Him that? Lord, what are we doing together today? Will you show me? Will you prepare me? One of the things the Lord asked me during this preparation is what you're devoted to is what your allegiance to, is what you're committed to, worth the price that I paid on the cross? Is what you're devoted to worth the cross? I mean, that's heavy if you think about it. Is what I'm giving my attention to worthy of the cross? If he is your Lord, if you are his disciple, do you take into consideration if what you're doing pleases him? Is what I'm doing today, in every moment, and everything I say and do, pleases him? Putting him first will be costly, but it cost him everything when he was on the cross and he died for you and me. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And Luke 14:33 says, in the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. So being his disciple will cost us everything. Being his disciple is not for the faint of heart. Does it mean that it will be awful? But it means there will be sacrifices that we'll have to make. And it's about him, not about me. So the question to you again this morning is, are you marked for Jesus? Do you carry the 7 markings of what it is to be a disciple? Do you want to be his disciple? Do you know many times we just ask people, do you want to be saved? And then they come and they say, yes, I want to be saved. And then they sometimes slip away. Do you want to be his disciple? Do you want to have the markings that it will take to be a disciple of Jesus? I have a song that I would like to play. And if you desire to walk as a disciple and have the 7 markings of the Lord over your life, will you stand up and we will pray with you and for you? Do you want to go in the back? It's set up. And once the song is done, we can just pray, and we'll be done. Yep.
As each day passes by, I feel my love run dry. I get so weary, warm, and tossed round in the storm. Well, to lay down your life for
in my soul. Lord, today I want the image of you in my soul. I want to be branded by you, to have the image of you in our souls. This morning, Lord, I declare that you are branding us for your purposes. Father, this morning I pray that you would touch our lives, that we would not leave here this morning the same as we came in. Father, I pray that this morning we would say, Lord, we want to be marked by you. We want to be your disciples. We want to walk in the joy of the Lord. We want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. For Lord, we can't do it on our own. So Father, I release that this morning over this congregation, over every single person, that you would seal us, that you would brand us, that you would be the one that we run after, God. Father, that nothing would distract us, but that we would be, Father, running after you. Just like that song said, I want to be more like you, Jesus. We want to be your disciples. And as your disciples, Lord, we are little, the Christian, the disciples, we are more like you each day. So, Father, today, seal that in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.